Hey guys, welcome back. This is Stephanie Oki, and today I'm going to be talking about strength, healing, and peace. These three things came to me this morning because I told you guys already that I was going to talk about a few things and sort of how I've been coping in the last 1 year and how, you know, things have been. Now, disclaimer, I'm definitely not going to let out my, private details about my life. So I just wanted you to know that I'm not going to be giving out private details. However, I am going to be, you know, kind of talking about experiences in a somewhat vague way, but in a way that you can understand, and in a way that it can perhaps help somebody, because that's the purpose of this. So I'll start with talking about, I'll just talk generally. So, you know, when you're going through issues, like I have been going through so many issues in my life in the last 1 year, you find that, I talked about this in my last podcast, that there are two ways you can resolve issues, especially when it comes to issues involving other people or relationships or just things that don't have to do with you alone, right? You can either fix the situation or you can go away, like uproot yourself, remove yourself from the situation. And sometimes it seems like the latter is not really the way to go if you really want to make a relationship work. And by saying relationship, I mean it could be a marriage, it could be, you know, an intimate relationship, say a boyfriend, girlfriend, it could be a friendship, right? And it could even be perhaps at work, but it can take a lot to decide to remove yourself from an occupation, to remove yourself from a job. So, you know, these are also things that you can factor into this type of relationships I'm talking about. So I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, I'm talking about whatever relationship or whatever issue you're having that involves somebody else. So now when it comes to fixing the situation, now, you know, I'm saying that two parties, it's not just you, it's you and somebody else in whatever form of relationship you have. And now, when you fix the situation, you're not the only one who's got to do that work. It takes two to tango. It takes the two of you. It actually took the two of you to destroy the relationship in the first place anyway. So now, there's some factors that now have to play in. The both of you have to be mature enough to somewhat, you know, take ownership of the situation, take responsibility for your own individual actions, and then think of a remediation. How can you move forward? How can you fix this? But you know, you find that, I mean, as with all human beings, we're not all the same, right? We don't all have the same level of, should I say, temperaments, the same level of thinking and things like that. And so it usually has to take some time, and you have to kind of allow for that time to let both of you be on the same page. And you know, it's completely okay. I may be the one person who's trying to take responsibility already, and the other person is not trying to take responsibility, and trust me, that's okay. So you also have to be open-minded enough to know that people don't have to fall on your page immediately. They have to take their time to also think through it. But now, when time is going and you know they're not, well, let me first talk of the person who's compliant. So you know, they're thinking through it, and then finally you guys get to the same page where you both realize that you both contributed negatively in a way that impacted your relationship negatively, and then the both of you can sit down, have a good conversation, and see how to move forward. And then the both of you can, you know, realize that, okay, look, we're going to do this, we're going to correct this action, I'm going to improve in this area, I'm going to reduce this thing I used to do. Because sometimes it's an act of omission as well. It could be that you do something too much, or you don't do something at all. Those two things can cause conflicts. So if you know you do something too much, you can reduce your actions. And if you know you don't do something at all, then you improve in that area. You try to work towards doing whatever it is to make your relationship work. But so now, if there is like a non-compliance where both, it's funny I'm using the word compliance, but anyway, if both parties are not kind of meeting on the same page, and one person is not trying to, you know, get to that point where they're taking ownership, they're taking responsibility. And by taking ownership, it does not mean you're wrong. It does not mean you're wrong. It just means you kind of acknowledge your negative contribution to a relationship. But when it comes to a point where one party is not acknowledging their negative contribution, and then even if they perhaps acknowledge their negative contribution, they acknowledge it and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. That's just who I am. There's nothing, you know. So it means now they've acknowledged that, yes, they have a fault, but they are not trying to make things work. So now in either of those circumstances, I personally would remove myself from the situation. Yes. So it means that you do not try to fix that, because it's like a brick wall. There is nothing you can do at that point. And you cannot force somebody to kind of see things from your level, like from your, you know, to kind of see things from your perspective. And so at that point, it's very, you know, key to kind of be able to pinpoint that point in your relationship and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to remove myself. Because at the end of the day, peace. You see, I said I was going to talk about strength, peace, and what was the third thing? Anyways, I'll remember as I go along. Oh, there were three things. Anyways, so now that would bring you your some level of peace, right? And you know, your peace is very important. Your happiness, your, you know, just being at that level where you're content with yourself is very important. And you know, there are always times when people really remove themselves from situations, friendships even, you know, you have a best friend, you fall out and you come out of it, but then you have that guilt in you. And the reason you have that guilt in you is because you didn't analytically, you know, look at that relationship to see what fell out in that relationship. You didn't, you know, kind of objectively look at it from the aspect of, okay, both of us should think properly. Where did we go wrong? How can we fix this? And so when you come out of a relationship and you have some level of guilt, it's because you know you didn't quite do enough to try to resolve the issue. But if you come out of a relationship and you've done enough to try to resolve it, you definitely will not have that guilty feeling when you come out, and you will definitely come out stronger. Now let's move on to the next thing I was going to talk about, strength. And I hope I remember the third one before this ends. You see, the thing about this podcast is I can't even stop and go back. And I thought about this just as I woke up, and you know, it's still morning time, so I didn't even write it down. Anyway, I know I'm gonna remember. So strength, right? So with strength, when you're in a conflict or there's something going on, it can feel very emotionally draining. It can feel very emotionally exhausting. You can find yourself feeling like you're running on a racetrack that has no end. And it is very, it can be a very painful process. And you see, in this process, you will become weak. Yeah. So, you know, when I'm talking about this, I'm sounding strong. I'm sounding very, you know, alert with my thoughts. And, you know, I'm able to kind of pinpoint things and talk about it. But trust me, when I was in the moment, I was very, very weak emotionally. And I was just, you know, I was dying inside of me. And that's kind of why I took a break from podcasting. And if you kind of notice, that's also when, because I have a YouTube channel, and on my YouTube channel, I was also vlogging. And, you know, on my vlogs, I would show my face. I would do like, you know, lifestyle vlogs and things like that. But it was also at that point, if you go back and look at my YouTube channel, I started to slow down on vlogging. And I had learned a hobby of soap making. And then I eventually transitioned my channel into a soap making channel, which I actually do love. And that's what it is now. It's Creamy Suds, if you want to find me on YouTube. Creamy Suds. So then I transitioned into soap making and I stopped showing my face. So here's a correlation that, you know, some people may not have noticed. At the same time, I stopped letting my voice out to talk about me and my, you know, and my feelings and things, and just things that would somewhat kind of give you a feel of how I'm doing, i.e. podcasting, where I talk. I stopped doing that, and at the same time, I stopped showing my face on YouTube, and I started just doing soap making. And with soap making, you're not talking about your personal life. You're talking about soap. You're talking about how to make soap, and you're just kind of showing people your soap making. You don't have to show your face. And I wasn't showing my face, and I kind of got comfortable with that for the last 1 year. And that's okay too. That's okay too. What I'm just trying to get at is that I was in such an emotionally drained point in my life. I mean, to be honest with you, even the last 2 years before that were also quite emotionally draining, but I think the last 1 year was the worst for me. And so I just didn't want to show myself. I was getting to that point where you start to feel isolated. You start to not want to show yourself out. You're just, you know, I felt so isolated. I felt alone in my pain. I felt like this pain was for me alone and nobody else could understand or feel it. And nobody else, you know, I just felt like I deserved some kind of cross I had to carry or something. And so I just kind of coiled into a shell. And, you know, in that period, I had no strength. And when I say I had no strength, guys, I'm talking both physically and mentally. So it's not just the emotional stress and the emotional, you know, weakness. There was also physical weakness, and my health was starting to get impacted. And, you know, I was super weak. I couldn't even stand up. You know, when you sleep and you wake up, you should feel some level of energy. I mean, look at me right now. It's morning time. I just woke up and had a shower, and trust me, I'm bursting with so much energy right now. Like, I could just, you know, kill my day. But the way I was then, I would sleep until 10 a.m. And that's not me. Typically, I'm a morning person. Even right from like when I was in university and things like that, I literally am that early bird. But like, I would sleep until 10 a.m. I would wake up. I would still feel lazy. I couldn't make a proper breakfast for myself. I would just go to the kitchen and, you know, make anything. As literally, I was always trying to think, okay, what can I make within 2 minutes? So I would probably just fry an egg and just eat it with bread, or I would just make some oatmeal, you know, something basic and something little. I mean, oatmeal is good food, but personally, especially with the way I grew up eating oatmeal with something else. I didn't just eat oatmeal. I would eat oatmeal with, you know, perhaps beans, or, you know, there's something called moi moi back in Nigeria, which is actually beans that is like grinded and steamed and made into like a kind of pudding, no, not pudding, like a kind of bean cake type thing. It's really nice. If you don't know about moi moi, just Google it. MOIN-MOIN. It is super, super lovely and tastes good. So if you want to try that recipe, go on YouTube, find it somewhere. You're gonna, it's such a good food. Anyway, there's me going off talking about food. Anyway, so, you know, we would eat oat and moi moi. We would eat oat and akara. Akara is also made with beans as well, AKARA, if you want to try that too. So, you know, there were just so many things that, you know, my life just seemed very, you know, I don't know. And then I started getting weaker. I started feeling like I was always fainting. And when I say feeling like I was always fainting, it means that. So I would stand up. I would probably do something, then I would feel nauseous, feel dizzy, and I would literally have to fall down on my bed. Yes, I wouldn't just sit down, like, you know, as I sit down gently because you're feeling that. I would fall on the bed, and I would have to lay there for about 5 to 10 minutes to kind of get myself back. Then I would stand up sluggishly and try to go to the kitchen and do something. And, you know, guess what? I was doing all of this without help, guys. I mean this, without help, without any help. You know, you have to look after your child. You have to clean. You have to do this. And there's no help. I'm not going to go into too much detail about the help. But, you know, just understand what I mean when I say there's no help and you have to do everything by yourself. And so it became super daunting on me physically. And so I went to the hospital, and that was when, you know, I was kind of informed. I mean, it wasn't news to me, but I was informed that, you know, I had fibroids, and the fibroids had really gotten to a point where I was in a pretty critical state, you know. And the doctor said, honestly, I don't know how you're even still standing. You know, they checked my blood level. It was so low. Guys, you know what? I'm going to do a different podcast about my experience with the fibroids and the removal and everything, just so you guys can have that in a different podcast, because that would definitely help women who want to, you know, learn more about fibroids and things like that. So I think I'll do a different podcast for that. But bear in mind, all I'm trying to say here is that my health, my physical health was impacted by everything. And, you know, the emotional help didn't help. The emotional stress didn't help. And so at that point I began to pray. I'm Christian. I began to pray that, you know, God, I have a child. The last thing I want is to fall down and die. You know, I really need to be strong for this child. And I started to pray for strength. It became a major prayer point for me. I would wake up every morning. I would say, God, I need strength. I need strength. I need strength. And as, you know, as things went on, I started to, okay, think, you know, you need to write down. I said to myself, you need to write down things that you have to do to get yourself back to where you were, because this is not who you are. I would look in the mirror, and it almost sounds metaphorical. It almost sounds like this is just a metaphor, but I mean this when I tell you that I would look in the mirror and I would not recognize myself. My eyes looked sunken. Everything, I looked like a ghost just standing there in front of the mirror. And guess what? There was a time I also cut my hair. Oh, there's so many things to this. I'm gonna get to it when I also talk about mental health. But anyway, so I didn't recognize who I was always seeing in front of the mirror. And so I wrote it down that, you know, I need to get myself back together, and, you know, wrote down things I needed to do. So first of all, I needed to get my health in check. So I knew I needed to do a surgery. I knew I needed to do this. And then there is this thing I'm thinking about, and I really do not know how to describe it, but it's like when you're in pain and you're in a lot of, you know, in a difficult situation, in a tumultuous relationship with anybody at all, it's like you're in a fire. Should I use fire? It's like you're in a furnace or something, and, you know, the entrance of that furnace is the hottest. Yes. So that entrance, when you're getting in, you probably don't feel it because you're coming out of the cool, but when you're trying to come out of it, it requires a lot more. I really don't know how to describe this. Gosh, I wish somebody could just use some type of analogy for this, but it requires a lot more force to push you out. And you see, at that point where you need to be pushed out of this trouble that you're in, comes a lot of force, and that force is a lot of pain. And so at that point, you require a lot of strength, a lot more strength than you had been dealing with. Because when the pain is dragging, it's there, but when you're coming out, nah, it's painful. You have to come out with a strength. And so I knew I was getting there. You know, obviously the point of the surgery, there's pain with that. And then there came, right after my surgery, when I thought, you know what, let me just take some time to, you know, heal. And then, yes, healing was the third thing I think I was going to talk about, healing. So it was strength, healing, and peace. So, you know, you need time to heal and all of that. But at that point, this podcast is getting longer than I thought it would be. I usually like to keep my podcasts less than 15 minutes, but that's okay, because I think this is such an interesting and necessary. Americans say necessary. I say necessary, to be honest, with from, you know, where I come from. We speak like more British English. Anyway, so it's necessary to push yourself out of it. And it takes a lot more strength during that period, because there's so much more that can happen. And so I had so much, you know, Nigerians call it gbasgbos. It's like so much hits, so many hits from different angles just came to me. And I started to think, but why is this happening right now? I'm trying to come out of this. Why does it feel so difficult to come out? But I think that's what it is. When you're coming out of something, trust me, that is the most difficult stage. So you see people, they're in relationships, they have boyfriends, girlfriends, they're not happy in their relationships, but they can't break up. You see, they don't usually want to break up. And the reason they don't want to break up is because that actual breakup phase is actually a very difficult phase. And most people don't want to go through that breakup phase. It's never easy to break up. Even if you don't like the relationship, it's never easy to break up. So that breakup phase is like, people have to choose, do I stay in this pain or do I go through that breakup phase and come out happy? You know, and it's just that breakup phase is just the most difficult phase. And so that's kind of a phase that you enter. And during that phase, you need strength. Yes, you do need strength, because there's a lot of emotional, you know, chaos that comes with that phase. And, you know, in that phase, you really need your brain focused. You need your focus. And that's kind of where I like the approach I took, where I had already fixed my health. Well, you know, it wasn't completely fixed, or should I say I was still fixing my health, but then my health had greatly improved from where it was before I went to the hospital. And so that area gave me some strength. So you need to really think of your own self as an individual and think of where you're lacking in strength. It's like you have to gather your resources. It's like you're going to war. You need your weapons. And please don't misquote this podcast. I'm using that as a metaphor. I'm not trying to say war or anything. It's like if you're going for a fight, you need your weapons. You need to be prepared. And so you go with your strength intact, right? So I had to fix my health first before I came to battle this. And so far, it's been just the grace of God, to be honest, that I have been able to be strong in times of trouble. And, you know, all I can say right now, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, strength just comes. No, it takes you to allow your strength come to you, because you can choose weakness or you can choose strength. It actually is a choice you make. You can choose to lay down and just cry, or you can choose to cry and stand up, which was my choice. I would choose to myself. I would say, okay, you know what? I'm going to cry, but I'm not going to cry for more than one day. That's actually my rule. Generally, I do not brood over anything for more than 24 hours. So after 24 hours, I pick myself up no matter what. Yeah, because life has to move on. So now that brings me to the next point, and that's healing. See, the healing phase is the most interesting phase, because it's not a phase where your pain automatically goes away. It's a phase where you work on just healing your wound. It's like you have a wound. Your wound will not just stop hurting you immediately because it's healing. No, you will still feel the pain, but the pain gradually eases off. And why does the pain gradually ease off? You treat your wound. You don't just let your wound stay and, you know, get some infection, or maybe go out in the mud and play in the mud and, you know, you get some infection in the wound. No, you take your time to clean your wound. You take your time to, you know, take whatever medication has been prescribed to help you heal your wound. And so when you've come out of a bad relationship, a bad friendship, you have to heal. And you have to acknowledge that that takes time too. It doesn't happen overnight. You cannot just wake up and say, oh, well, I'm going partying. Hey, hey, hey. Nah, you have to take your time to treat yourself. Take your time to think of ways in which you can heal. Take your time to assess what has just happened to you. To see how, oh, I fell down here and I hurt myself. Okay, how can I avoid falling down there next time? Does it mean I have to wear shoes that have better grip? Does it mean I have to, you know, kind of fix whatever pothole was probably there that made me fall down? Is it called pothole? You know what I mean? Like a kind of ditch or something. It's a time for you to really reflect back. Yes, you have to reflect back on the issue. And even take a pen and paper and write down things that were wrong and things that could be corrected next time, you know, and just take your time, treat yourself, treat your wound, allow yourself time to heal. Do not just run off and say, hey, I'm free now, I'm going to go do it. No, allow yourself time to heal and let that, you know, help you through. And you see, right now I am still in my healing phase. I am actually not healed. In fact, I wouldn't even say I'm in my healing phase. I think I am just towards the end of that difficult phase. I'm still kind of towards the end of it, so I'm not even done yet with that. And then when I get, but I think it's kind of intertwined with the healing, so I'm also kind of healing at the same time. But once I'm done with this difficult phase, I know that I'm definitely going to go into proper healing. And, you know, if that means therapy, if that means whatever it is that you can do to help yourself, it could even be just prayers, it could be anything, it could be having someone you confide in to talk to. It could be having a program, having some app that helps you. You know, there's always apps that I've heard of, different apps that kind of help with healing and things like that. Calm up, whatever it is. Do that. Evaluate yourself. Reflect. And be mindful. Enjoy the moment. Don't drain yourself thinking that problems are actually not forever. If there's anything I've learned from the last 1 year, I've learned that. Or from the last 3 years, I have learned that. Because it felt like I was in a kind of hell that was never ending. But if there's anything I've learned is that everything is temporary and everything will pass. No matter what it is, it will. It's like a guarantee. I guarantee you it will pass. It will eventually be history and it will eventually be something you talk about. So while you're in the moment, yes, feel the sadness. Know that you're allowed to feel sad. You're allowed to be unhappy about your situation. But also never forget that this situation is not going to be permanent. It's going to end at some point. No matter what happens, it has to end. It cannot be there forever. And so, you know, just use that as some level of consolation, knowing that this is not permanent. This is going to end someday and I'm going to be free. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this podcast. If you have listened to this point, thank you so much. I really do appreciate this. Has been my longest podcast in a while. And I appreciate you listening to this point. And, you know, thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for supporting me. And thank you for even being here. And you can find my podcasts on Google, Apple, Spotify, of course. And, you know, any other place where you get your podcasts from. So until next time, guys, thank you and have a great day. Bye.